Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering both hope and help for men. Can't do this thing by myself. In the studio with me today, I was going to go on and on, but I wouldn't. You would probably be upset with me saying those things. It'd embarrass you.
I don't get easily embarrassed, my friend.
You don't?
No.
This guy is seasoned, let me tell you. We got Duke in the studio with me. Good to have you, brother.
Good to be here. You know, you said something about you can't do this alone. First thing that came to mind is I don't think I could go down the trail if I wasn't on my horse.
There you go. Well, you could. You may not be able to go as far.
Or as comfortable.
Yeah. There you go. Well, we have a topic today that we're going to be just stirring it up a little bit. How do you find hope in the midst of challenges in your life? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, what is it that I didn't call for this? I thought I was doing all right. Then all of a sudden this happens in my life. You know, we're going to just stir it up there. So you can call that whatever you want to call it, whether it's in the midst of persecution or in the midst of trials. How do you end up seeing that there's something good in all of this? What does the Bible say about that sort of thing? So we'll talk about that here momentarily. But I'm sure none of you guys have ever had challenges or troubles, right? So you probably won't be able to relate with this. We'll see what we can do with stories and stuff to be able to let you know that you're not alone out there. So anyway, in the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little encouragement. And I don't know, Duke, if you've got any encouragement left. You're usually giving it away every day.
Oh, yeah. No, I got plenty.
Do you?
My bucket's full.
Yeah. All right.
And it comes from real experiences, brother. My encouragement, I guess, is I was encouraged once again. One of the men of our church that is a really boots-on-the-ground sort of guy was in a car accident, wrecked his car, and didn't have any money for a replacement vehicle. Mm. So what I love about the church and the body of men that follow Christ is I put out an email, says, hey, could anybody help? We had a potential vehicle, and we needed to raise a reasonable amount of money, and would anybody be able to do so? And I got more than enough response to fund purchasing a vehicle for this brother.
That's nice.
And it was just like, you know what? And I know some of these men that gave to this effort don't have a lot of abundance.
Right.
But they love this man. He's one of their brothers. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of swept over me emotionally that they were willing to do this.
Yeah.
And then we had a men's meeting on Wednesday at our Band of Brothers and continued that proposal and got even more guys helping out. And then on that note, we also put out recently the encouragement or asking about men that may want to sponsor a family that is going through a hardship, injury or whatever, loss of job,
right.
Kind of like the Angel Tree sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And because I've done that in the past, and I'm getting a huge response from that. So I'm just encouraged by men that are so willing to give when someone else is down and out or needs help.
Little do we realize that we always, at least I have, I'll speak for myself, been brought up in a sense that when I saw a lot of giving taking place, and I always thought, man, I want to be on the receiving end of this stuff. And so I always had that immature attitude is that, what, I'd like to get something like that. I'd like to be able to receive. Receiving is really good. I used to think of it just like Christmas when I was a kid. Oh, hey, it's about the presents I'm getting. That's what it's all about, you know. And as we become a little more mature, sometimes not necessarily physically or in a sense, but more emotionally and more importantly, spiritually, that we find that in giving, there's more reward in giving. It has superseded what I used to think was more important in by receiving.
Isn't that so true?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, praise God that there are still men who are willing to reach down when they're, even when they're at their last of their own, you know, still willing to give. Because they believe that that's what it's all about. And there is. There's such a blessing that is received. Yes, the person who receives it is receiving a blessing, but the person giving is also receiving one.
Well, you know, as we've often said, we're in a battle.
Yeah.
And whether it's a need for a vehicle or a transition from a job or whatever it is, when we get together as brothers and we lift up our other brothers, That's the team, that's the army getting together to do battle against Satan. So the guy's an overcome.
Yep.
So, yeah, I love it.
Yep.
Love it.
There you go. And, you know, the Bible talks about that orphans and widows, that we're to be there for them and to be able to assist and stuff. And also, in this case here, where men are who are taking responsibility for their families or just need, they are in need, I should say. And for other men to be able to say, hey, no, man, we're not going to let you fall between the cracks here. And it's praise God that that takes place.
Yep. You know?
So well done to all those brothers out there. You guys who are listening, man, you guys do things too without anybody even knowing about it. And that's even better because God is the only one that really needs to know what
Amen.
You do. So.
Amen.
All right. Well, why don't we segue right into this thing on hope and why don't you just explain sort of how you wanted to...
Well, it does kind of go a little bit to the encouragement. That is, there are different times when we find ourselves in times of hardship or persecution. And I have a family member that's going through that now. And I found myself looking for just the right scripture or words to let them know that that there's hope even in those circumstances.
Yes.
But the perception out there, Raul, oftentimes, and I remember I used to think this, that, well, once I believe in Jesus, once I'm following God, well, my problems, I won't have anymore, you know.
I was going to say, you're right.
I'll be good to go, right?
Yeah, because, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, everyone's going to be good.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, the Bible says so, right? Yeah, it says you will be blessed by these things, right? What it doesn't tell you is in the back part, okay, as I sometimes refer to, where it says, by the way, you actually glorify God even more when you're being persecuted for his name or you're enduring hardships and you're putting your faith and trust in him during that hardship. That's that whole backwards, I got to decrease for him to increase thing.
Well, and you hit it on the head here is that when we first come in and we realize, okay, here I've been saved by a Savior and things are so much better now. And then all of a sudden things start to creep in a little bit and it's called life, okay? Now, wait a minute, I didn't know that this was going to be like this. Well, when you get into reading more of the Word of God, you start to realize what he's let us know. That, yes, there are going to be challenges in your life. In this world, you are going to have tribulation. You are going to have temptations. Those are not going away. If anything, they're going to increase. So what does that mean? Does that mean that all of a sudden, oh, now what do I do? Well, that's where I need to submit even more to God. Because the more that I submit to him, the more his power is actually used through me to be able to deal with this stuff.
There you go. And that's a hard one to get, my friend. It took me a while. I find myself discipling men that are struggling, and they kind of have that in the back of the head. Well, this isn't really supposed to be happening. And I tell them, you know what? If you're sticking your finger in the right bee's nest, you're getting stung. Satan doesn't like this. So rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I can remember, oh, golly, 20-some years ago during some prison time, one of the books that I read was entitled Why Do Babies Die?
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my first introductions into this whole subject.
Yes.
Because it didn't make sense to me. How could a God of grace, a God that protects, you know, his children and all that, how would he how does he let this stuff happen?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty deep subject. You know, any listeners would have to, I guess, kind of really dig into it to learn what it means for them. But Scripture's pretty clear on it. And once you get it, man, that's one of the most powerful advantages that you have to overcome Satan.
And yet, even knowing, okay, in our own minds and reading and having faith in what is taking place, that, okay, there is a reason for it. When we're in the midst, when something actually happens to you, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's when the test comes. Am I going to, let's go to James 1, right, which says, consider it pure joy, right?
Yes.
When you face trials, okay, when you have the challenges, that consider it pure joy. How can I find any joy in this? You know, I mean, whatever it might be, but that's the attitude that we need to be seeking, to be more trusting in God. Okay. So often we realize or see things that take place in others' lives. And when I am honest about it, before I was a Christian and I'd see that, something, I go, oh, that's terrible. But there's a part of me saying, well, I'm glad it's him and not me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Now part of my posture when that same kind of scenario occurs, in a way, I'm thankful. I mean, in my own case, I certainly am. But when it's happening to another brother that maybe hasn't received some of that understanding or that wisdom,
right,
in a way, I'm happy because I know it's going to cause him to grow in a way that God wants him to.
Yeah,
and I can't tell him how to experience that.
Right,
he's just got to go through it.
Right,
I just love it.
You know, and so often in my background, or I should say, the way that I was raised, getting prepared, ready to know Jesus, all of my sins, alcoholism, drug addiction, a lot of that was part of my life because I didn't want to have to deal with life.
Yeah,
in reality, and so all of this stuff got me into another zone, in a sense, okay, or whatever you want to call it. So I don't have to think about it or worry about it. When I was depressed, I would take whatever was necessary at the time, and I'd feel even more depressed, okay? Or in some cases, start off that I'm going to be even even have your glasses just fell apart. This is why we should video
look at that.
Save that right there.
There's the screw. Yeah. So
okay.
Anyway, sorry to have my glasses fall apart right there in front of you while you were on a wagon train. You know, I mentioned earlier that I have a family member. So actually, my daughter is going through some struggles as she seeks God.
Yes.
And she's starting to wrap her head around, what is this? How does this benefit me to be challenged in these things? And then this morning, I sent her the devotional that I get on my smartphone. It's Proverbs 16:32 that says, whoever's the slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes the city. And so I sent that to her thinking, you know, here's it's kind of a cursory example, but it's here's where the strength really begins to apply. That he who rules the spirit takes the city. And you know what? I got to tell you that ruling the spirit has to do with just these kinds of things, the hardships. What you do about them or how you handle them is what, and a lot of people are watching too, brother.
Mm-hmm.
If you have professed to be a follower of Jesus Christ and you get thrown that curve, something unexpected, or you're under attack, the way that you react or act, others are watching. Make no mistake.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important that we just move forward into seeking more of Christ. Because in our lives, what ends up taking place is that we're going to be given these opportunities to be able to deal with this stuff. And how we deal with it is really depends on where we're at. When we start doing things, pulling up our own bootstraps and doing something in the flesh, trying to say, yes, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and yet God's not really there other than just a name that I can shoot out every now and then. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in positions in the quicksand of going, whoa, what happened here? You know, I'm chest high and this quicksand is sucking me down and I'm going, oh no, I better seek him. And yet that's what ends up taking place. I end up using him like a life preserver.
Absolutely. Right? We all do, yes.
And only when I need him. And I set him back up at the time and saying, okay, if I need you again, just I'll grab you, or I'll, you know, just jump off that wall and come down here.
You know, and all of us in our walk, I just love it when I see this manifest, because in my own experience, and I think I've given this example before on a different radio show, but there was a time when we lived in a place for 16 years, and then I guess you'd say I was called to change up and move, and had a couple of moves right in a row that weren't expected. And it's kind of exhausting to move. I mean, mm-hmm. At the time, we had 9 horses and a full house and a lot of stuff, right?
Right.
So I can remember my wife in the house that we'd moved to, and we knew we weren't going to stay. And right. We'd only been there like 5 months.
Right.
And she began to cry. And we were standing in the kitchen. And I was called to you know, show strength. But I have to have it within me before I can share, right?
Yeah.
So I just put my arms around her, and I prayed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed the prayer that I don't understand why this is happening, Lord, but I know that it's for our benefit, because you don't want anything bad to happen to us, and we're just going to embrace whatever that is.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, you get a hold of that, boy, there's no stopping you.
Yeah, yeah. But it's having to get to that point of being able to do that, because in the midst of the fire, when all of a sudden you wake up and there's fire taking place around you, we can easily panic and start getting into a mode of, I need to fix this.
Yes.
Okay.
Myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways of being able to eliminate or minimize some of that challenge that takes place, but it requires some self-discipline, which is all part of the self-control, which happens to be the last fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned, right?
Yes.
And so there is something that we can do on our end here. And a big part of that is seeking the Lord. Let's take a break. And when we come back from the break, let's talk a little more about what this looks like, maybe some examples of what the Bible has to say. And I think one of the key ones that so many are familiar with in the book of Genesis, chapter 50. During the break, go ahead and take a look, or just listen to the commercials and appreciate those people who actually support this ministry. There we go. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Make me empty. I can be filled, 'cause I'm still holding onto my will, and I'm completed when you are with me. Make me empty till you are.
Welcome back.
You're getting right into it, aren't you?
I was going to go right into it, and I just thought, okay. All right, welcome back. All right, in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, is the story of Joseph. And Joseph with his brothers. Some of you know the story. Mm-hmm. Joseph's brothers sold him. He was the youngest one. They sold him into slavery, okay? And he ended up in Egypt. And, of course, his dad thought he was killed because of the blood and everything else they used to make it look like he had been killed by a bear or a wild animal, a wild beast or whatever. And the fact is that little did they realize that as God took care of him, he went through these challenges and trials as being sold into slavery, ended up in Pharaoh's in Egypt. in Pharaoh's realm, so to speak. And long story short, over the years, he gained, because of giftings that he has, a trust in everything, and it means he had probably the right kind of mind to be able to help. Anyway, so they promoted him. He eventually became, I believe it was governor or something like that, of Egypt. He was second in command to Pharaoh.
Second in command, yep.
And
yep.
So what ended up taking place, when there's a famine and everything in the land, the brothers came. Anyway, long story, they ended up seeing him, didn't recognize him at first, and didn't know that he was the one that was actually doing all of this. But there's a verse that was so important, and that's in Genesis 50, 19 through 21. It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." Now, this is the brother who was sold into slavery. Can you imagine being thrown in a big old jar or knocked out or whatever and put in there and then sold and saying, hey, you know, and they disowned him, said, hey, man, the few, whatever they received for it, okay, was enough. Can you imagine the resentment he probably had for a long time, maybe? Who knows?
Oh, God.
But the fact is that when he ended up seeing them and everything, that was all gone. That was all gone. And he ended up saying, hey, listen, with God, what you had intended to, for harm, God made it a miracle.
And he does that.
All the time. But we think that we're different than Joseph and stuff. and really what it comes down to is that his faith, okay, his belief, okay, where are we with that? Do we just seek the Lord at the time? Or do we really trust and believe that, hey, maybe he does have something better in store when we're going through something?
Yeah, and you know, this fire extinguisher or seek the Lord when we have the trouble, it's kind of like going into battle, and once they start shooting, then you go run and put on your armor. No, you go into battle with your armor already on.
Yes.
And it's something that I had to learn. And the other thing, Raul, I'll tell you is that, as scriptural reveals it does in John 16:33, about in this world you will have trouble. There's this frank honesty and truthfulness that's everywhere that says, don't be surprised. These things have been happening since the beginning of time, and you will have hardships and persecutions. It wasn't until I became a follower that I was able to learn how best to overcome that when it got to that point.
Yes. You know, one of the things is to, it's difficult to understand and to believe. And this is why I think it just reminds me of just the power and the majesty and the sovereignty of God. Of He has each and every one of us. He knows exactly what's taking place in our lives. You know how many of us are on this earth right now? I mean, billions. He knows each and every one of us. He knows every hair on our head. Okay?
Yes.
And he actually orchestrates, allows certain things to take place in our lives to be able to do so. I have a hard time winning chess matches.
Really?
Trying to wonder what's going on, what the next move is going to be. And God does that not only in our lives as in tears for just our own individual life and how we affect other people, but he does it in everybody else's life.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. And that's where I'm sitting here going, now, why would I not want to seek the Creator? Why would I want to seek His guidance? Why wouldn't I want His counsel? Why wouldn't I want to just admit that, hey, He loves me. All He wants me to do is obey Him.
Well, even more foundational for me than that is knowing that whatever comes my way, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
My dad used to say, it'll always work out. You know, and I think I may have shared this too. I was driving my van a few weeks ago, got an I-5 from a good 45-minute drive away from my house, and no sooner than I get on the highway and the battery light comes on.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to run on battery, and it was cold and it was dark. So what did I do? Instead of getting all spun out about it, about halfway home, I'm like, okay, praise God.
Yeah.
It's all right, Lord, you... And I almost got a little giddy about, okay, you've got something in mind for me.
Yep.
I ended up miraculously making it off an exit and going into a Denny's and striking up a conversation with the guy at the counter while I was waiting for my wife to pick me up that turned out to be a huge blessing.
Mm.
Now, there's no way that would have occurred had that not, now, if my mindset was like, oh, pickle, and, you know, maybe some more descriptive words that I know that I just, it's like stubbing your toe and having your day start that way, or stubbing your toe and saying, okay, thank you, Lord, for at least I have feelings, and I felt that in my foot, and go forward. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's something about when we're in the midst of things that are taking place in our lives, it's difficult to see that. And that's why I believe it's so important, the fellowship, the people we have in our lives. Who do we hang out with? Most men, the majority of men, isolate. We are very limited to the friends that we have or people. I mean, at one time in our life, I'm not, you know, maybe the guys who are listening, they're in part of fellowship and they're into ministry and they're helping others and others are helping them and there's a good community going, taking place. Maybe that's what's going on. But if not, that's the safeguard in a sense. That's what it's all about, of being able to know that there are others, that we're not alone. That's why we do this radio show. To let others know of our own experiences that, hey, that there is hope. And that hope is in that relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? And Jesus says, hey, you can get, the only way of getting to the Father is through me, plain and simple. So it's having to accept me and go from there. Come to know me, he says. Get into my word. You know, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Or remain in me, I'll remain in you. And when we do those things, it's difficult because so often we're used to doing other things, relying on ourselves, attempting to make more money, to make my bring my happiness even higher, to be able to have more power, to be able to impress other people so that they would come to me, so I would have purpose and fulfillment in my own life. And that's not what it's about.
No, but, you know, on that note, too, there's a thankfulness in whatever our giftings are. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. And part of what I often will tell my men is that if a challenge or hardship comes your way, yes, you know, you're to draw to God for that comfort during that time of trial. But make no mistake, buddy, you don't sit on the couch and go, please, Jesus, fix this for me. You know, you have to go and be a reflection of him and apply whatever giftings that he's given you to overcome that challenge. And if it means mending a relationship between you and your spouse or your workplace or whatever it is, you're to draw onto that same wisdom that you were just talking about that has so many tentacles of as he abides in me. Boy, once you get that, I'm telling you what, it's like you got on the bulletproof vest and the helmet and the whole deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just can't say enough about this, Raul, because I used to do what you said earlier. I would handle it myself. Something came up. Okay, well, you know, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like don't swing at the first ball when you go to bat. I've learned to not react that way, but to take a moment and go, okay, I know there's a blessing here somewhere because God's word is true and it never comes back void. I don't see it right now, but man, I'm going to embrace that. And I put it to prayer and he delivers every time.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's, but our God is not a God of instant gratification. He is at times. Can those things take place? Yes, it can. But that's not always the case. And we think when he doesn't give to us, when we plead to him to help us out in the situation or to help somebody who's in need, they're suffering or they're hurting, and please heal them, and it doesn't take place right away, we start to think that, okay, what's wrong? Maybe he's not listening to my prayers. And maybe there's something, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there might be. Nothing wrong with looking at yourself and seeing where you're at, okay? Making sure your prayers are being heard by, you know, if I've got certain sins that are taking place that are secret that nobody knows about, maybe it's time that you actually come to the agreement with yourself that God already knows about it. You might as well just say, hey, Lord, you know what's going on in my life. Forgive me for sinning against you here. And forgive me and be with me as I repent. As I turn away from this, but I also have a repentance in my mind where all of a sudden I'm thinking more of you rather than these other things I've been doing. Maybe that's something that needs to take place so that I would be able to be heard in my prayer requests, okay? Now, you might be pure in your walk. You might be blameless in certain in your life, in a sense, and you are seeking the Lord, and yet you pray, and yet there's no response. It doesn't mean it's not heard. His timing is perfect. His timing is perfect every time. David in the Psalms, he in I think it's Psalm 22, he talks about how, why have you forsaken me? And all of this stuff and tribulation challenges were taking place in David's life, and yet God did answer him. But it was later. I mean, it was decades later, okay, where God answered that plea and that prayer.
Yes.
And what ends up taking place, we think it needs to happen right now. But we need to continue trusting in him. Because I'm telling you, we're tested all the time with our faith. I believe that's something that God wants to know. Where are you here with this, Raul, with me? Are you going to trust me, or are you going to just try to do it all yourself? Because I'll just get out of the way here, you know. Let's take a break. We come back. We got a few more things we want to say about this thing about suffering, tribulation,
yes,
and having peace and hope in the midst of all of that. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and during the break here, of course, Duke and I are talking about the experiences, our own personal experiences, and what is what the Bible has. You know, he had mentioned Job, we had mentioned Daniel and David, and of course, you know, so there, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the guys who ended up going into the oven, right? And I tell you, I said, you know, that there are so many things, and we actually look at those, we read those, and we go, well, but that's not like in my life, but it is. I found that when I end up in a Bible study with other men, and we get into the Word, and some of these experiences and some of these things that we read about in the Word, all of a sudden it's like, what does that have to do with my life today? Well, you know what? All you have to do is take the time to be able to talk about it with somebody else. Before you know it, things are starting to become more revealing to you in your own life. You know.
Yes, I just recently changed the background on my laptop from a sign I've got hanging in my house that says, "When all else fails, read the instructions."
Mm-hmm.
And it's a picture of the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
Because I used to think that to endure this stuff meant that I needed to like grin and bear it. And when we feel sad, betrayed, or even angry, the emotions in themselves are not bad. They only become sin when we allow them to take root in our lives and produce bitterness, evil thoughts, revenge, or unforgiveness. So Romans 8:28 is another one of God's promises that he's working all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And you gave the examples of Daniel, Job. To me, Paul is the prime New Testament example of the guy that endured being in prison, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, hungry, cold, destitute. These are all in 2 Corinthians 9 and 11. In spite of this and all more, Paul did manage to endure that suffering, finish the race, and keep the faith, 2 Timothy 4:7. So there is a treasure trove of support and promise that we can draw to to get a deeper understanding and how to get through some of these tough times sometimes.
Yeah, and really, when you talk about Paul and what he goes through, this is a man who, for all rights, I think about my own thinking, my own head, how I start thinking, oh man, maybe I don't know Jesus that well. Maybe my relationship isn't that great because of my past, and I think that I'm still being persecuted for my past, even though I've been forgiven, according to what the Scripture says. My head says maybe I haven't. Can you imagine being Paul, who actually killed Christians, the same ones that he's trying to attract and to become? Now, when things go awry, when he gets shipwrecked, when he ends up getting beaten, when he ends up being imprisoned, can you imagine what, if it were me, I probably would have gone crazy a lot earlier than he did.
Well, and we're to be thankful in those things. I used to think it was kind of punishment. One of the things that I do at my church in the morning during my parking lot security is I pick up cigarette butts. And I've often told people...
Do you light them up, too?
No, of course not. As a matter of fact, I use my Leatherman to pick them up, okay? I'm not even going to touch them. But I smoked for 35 years, so
yes. Oftentimes
people say, oh, well, thank you for doing that. And I'll respond, well, you know what? It's a little bit of God's punishment for me dishonoring him and smoking for those many years, because I felt it was dishonoring, you know, and I just hadn't been convicted till it was my time, I guess. But sometimes we do feel like that, or as you said earlier, we feel like we're praying for some support or relief in a difficult situation, and it's like, okay, God, where are you?
Yes.
How come you're not showing up?
Yes.
And part of the walk in that maturity and getting into the Word to understand this, it took me a while to get that when that didn't happen, I didn't get that instant gratification that you mentioned earlier, that I'm to be patient, and I'm to have that faith, and to know that it's all going to work out for my good with a wisdom that I can't even wrap my head around.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's something about the fact is that we are doing this life, okay? And the fact is that you're listening to this podcast and we're sharing it with each other. And so you're listening and we're being reminded of how gracious and loving our God is. Really is what it comes down to. And we're trying to give each other hope because we know that there will be challenges. We're going to have opportunity to say what James says in the very first chapter, right? Consider it pure joy. Right?
Yeah.
When you face trials of many
kinds.
You know, that when we get to that place, to be able to go there first, say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you, that there's a reason for this. Even though someone that's very dear and close to me and that I love deeply is in pain or in hurting or in challenged times, that there is a purpose for that. Father, I may not know what that is. And that isn't necessarily that we take that to somebody who is grieving over the loss of somebody. You know, timing is everything. God reveals and the Holy Spirit counsels us and guides us the more often that we seek him, okay? But that's the whole key. If I try to seek him less by being just in his presence all the time, instead of actually going and trying to go there. You know, we did a word study last night at the Bible study for the 300th man Bible study that we did. We do it on Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And it kind of applies to this because Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. Okay, this is Jesus talking. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You know, in this, that door doesn't have a handle on the outside. Jesus is not going to open it up. He wants us to open it up, and it has to come in. We swing it on the inside to let him in, okay?
Yes.
And when we are, and he's always knocking. I mean, seriously, if we think about it, we know that there's a conviction that's taking place when we're seeking self-gratification in through sin, through temptation, and we follow in that, thinking, oh, I'm going to be feeling pretty good here in a minute, or whatever it might be as a result of doing that. Do you not have at times that when you know the Lord, you know that little voice, that still voice back there says, no, don't do this. Don't go there.
We all have heard that.
And that is truly the knocking at the door. That's the knocking of the door. He's saying, just, hey, let me in. Let me come in with you. And let's eat together. Okay, let me make this home. And that is truly what ends up taking place.
You know, one of the reasons that this is such a passionate subject, you referred to a moment ago about consider it pure joy. I really have, in my challenges, I have learned that it's not necessarily joyful, but I get it because I can go to his word and go to prayer and I will get comforted. Or he will cause me to go and study his word closer for a deeper understanding because he knows that's what I need. So we're all different. We all process it different. We all receive it different.
Yes.
Only God knows just the right time to have you be challenged, I guess you'd say.
There you go. Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got a few more things to give you hope with. You're listening to Banner Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
You're busy and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Kane's, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
Something that Jesus said on the cross, I think it says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus himself, as a man, dying on the cross, felt that God had forsaken him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying desperately.
Take this cup. Yes.
And then he realized that he had to be the one. That he knew what he was still, even though he was 100% man, feeling what we would feel, he was still God. He knew what he was heading into and what was going to be taking place. You know, if you and I knew the things that that could happen to us as a result of certain things, we would be in fear, not move out of the house sometimes. Oh. We'd be sitting and be held, saying, no, I don't want to, I'm going to avoid doing that. But here he is. He goes and he even says out of his own mouth, that, why have you forsaken me? And yet, what takes place? One of the most beautiful things, the reason that you and I are even here today and given grace and given opportunity to be able to live eternally with him, okay, as a result of what Jesus did. You know, and when we endure in trusting him in the challenges that come into our lives, just trusting him, having the faith and knowing that we're going to be tested in this, but in persevering, okay, as a result of that, God has something in store. See, he's putting all the mosaic pieces together. We're just a little piece of it. He sees it from way above. We only see it down here, right?
Yes.
I mean, from the beauty, you know, someone says, hey, you know, the beauty of the forest, you know, you can't see the forest because of the trees,
yes,
and stuff. When you're in the midst of forest, you see all the dead trees and all the things that are pretty ugly in some places, but from high above, it's beautiful. And there's a whole, anyway, my point is that I need to trust in him even more.
Well, and you know, and that's such a great example, Raul, of that, take this cup from me. Kind of, because I can remember my prayers, and they're still that way, I guess, to this day, where I will say, help me. But then the prayer also is, you know, show me.
Yes.
Help me understand. It's not just a, oh, woe was me. It's a, I know you're there for me, Lord, just help me see that.
Yeah, yeah. And he's there. Just seek, open the door, let him in. Brother, how about you pray for our brothers who are listening,
yes,
today?
Our Father God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, I pray that the brothers that are listening would go to your word in their times of challenges and struggles and hardships and find the joy and the promises that you allow us by your grace and by your sacrifice. In your precious name, we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom.